and welcome. It's our number one, of our radio program in the podcast format, and we thank you for being a loyal minion to the radio program. So, as we normally do on the Tuesday show, we look back at Monday Night Football, live by the Goff, die by the Goff, as he melts down for Detroit in a second half collapse at Lambeau Field. Does a blowout win over the Lions prove that the Packers are back? That's a popular narrative in the media. We discuss right now in our number one, balancing the books. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we practice the tricks of the trade, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from deep inside your eardrums, providing marginal sports talk radio all night long. This store is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's always some gas bag or blowhard behind the microphones at the Fox Sports Radio studios. We hang out at our studios at a secret location in the North Woods. So our lead this hour coming from the not-so-frozen tundra. Wait a couple months for that. So after tripping out of the starting blocks, the Green Bay Packers were dead and buried and deserved all the criticism they got. Well, they returned to the field on Monday night. Monday Night Football. That used to be the most important night of the week for football. Now it's Sunday night. But Monday Night Football, and it's all about the R word, redemption. And it was redemption after getting kicked in the nuts by the Saints. Now they take on an NFC North, I say this in air quotes, rival, the Detroit Lions. Of course, if you know the history between the Packers and Lions, that has not been true since any of us were alive. Anyway, if you did not watch, and maybe you missed it, as we like to say, don't worry. We watched, so you would not have to. And I'll give you the nutshell recap here. It is our act of public service. It's a good mitzvah. So, a running back, Aaron Jones, keeping up with the Joneses, caught not one, not two, but three Aaron Rodgers touchdown passes. Rodgers had four touchdown passes, and Aaron Jones rushing for a four score, and the Packers snap out of the malaise with a dominating second half. The final score misleading 35-17. They win and cover against the division rival Lions on a Monday night. And Aaron Jones, the first Green Bay running back to catch three touchdown passes in a game since, 1942. So almost 80 years ago, he had 67 yards on the ground and six catches for 48 yards. So Green Bay, they do even up the books there. They're squared up 1-1. They stop doing the limbo. How low can you go? And they have now won nine consecutive home openers. I know you're very concerned about that. And Aaron Rodgers ended up with 22 of 27 passing. So he only had five incompletions, a good stat line, 255 yards. And he passed John Elway. And you could hear that gasp of air from the Rocky Mountains as Bronco apologists gasped and waned. No! But it happened. So Aaron Rodgers now into 10th place all time on the passing yard list. But let's discuss now the question as we look at the postmortem on the Monday night game. Does a blowout win over the Lions prove that the Green Bay Packers are back? No. I am shaking my head no. Angrily shaking my head no. I've got Barcelona, Gremlin, and Sinatra. And I'll make my elevator pitch. And we will see eye to eye by the time I'm done with this Maller monologue. Now, let's start by pumping the brakes on Green Bay's return to dominance because of Monday night. I was not impressed. The Packers struggled for roughly 75% of the game. They needed help to get separation. They trailed the lowly Lions. The Lions were leading the game at halftime. From a talent standpoint, this was a tremendous mismatch. Anybody that knows football will tell you that. Why Green Bay was crutching ois, as my Yiddish grandfather would say back in the day. Why Green Bay was, they were just clumming around there. They're terrible. A two-touchdown favorite. And here are the Lions scratching and clawing at the start of the game, punching above their weight. And so the way I look at this, even in victory, the Packers have some serious underlying issues. They were torn up by the New Orleans Saints for the entire game. And Jameis Winston, while his passing yardage wasn't great, 5 touchdowns. And Jared Goff, for a half, was amazing against that Packer defense. So forget Lambeau Field. The defenders in Green Bay, they are ready for the monumental bull ring of Barcelona. That was full Matador defense. Ole, 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 ole. They were playing like Matadors. And the game did expose more of those weaknesses. So it would be disingenuous to say, well, Green Bay's back. Detroit has a roster full of sharecroppers. If Hillary Clinton was commenting on the roster of defensive players for the Packers, she'd call them deplorables, and she wouldn't be wrong. And the skilled players, for the Lions, the great unwashed, and they were making some plays against the Cheeseheads. Players that you don't know, they're incognito. Khalif Raymond, Tyrell Williams, Quintez Cephas, I believe that's how you say his name. I don't even know how to say the guy's name. Tom Kennedy. The running backs, nondescript. Now, the one player they have on that Lions offense who's good is T.J. Hockenson. That guy's a ball player. The rest of those guys, they're just Jags. Just a guy. That's about it. Now, part B of this, I'm going to change gears here. So Aaron Rodgers, what he needs to do here is send a bouquet and a box of chocolates over to Jared Goff. All right, so I got a bunch of people who were trying to bust my balls and say, well, you can't rip Jared Goff. Did you see how Jared Goff played? And I just sat there and I said, what kind of bizarro world am I in here? Am I in a different dimension? All right, that game right there, Monday Night Football, I'm talking only to our listeners in Detroit and actually all over the state of Michigan. If you have an ounce of Lion passion left in you, that game is a microcosm of the full Jared Goff experience. And somewhere at a mansion in La La Land, Sean McVay was watching that game, and he had an evil laugh and a Cheshire Cat smile from ear to ear. Right? For 30 minutes, Jared Goff was matching Aaron Rodgers blow for blow. In fact, he was better than Aaron Rodgers in the first half of that game. That's a fact. He was electric in the first half. Jared Goff only had 3 incompletions, was averaging 8.5 yards per pass, had a passer rating of 141.9. It was a virtuoso performance. He played like a number one overall pick is supposed to perform. It was a masterclass on how to play quarterback. And then they went in and they watched cartoons at halftime, and they came out in the second half, and it was the same Jared Goff wearing the same Lions uniform, and all of a sudden, abracadabra, the Rocky Horror Picture Show starring Jared Goff. And all it took was a little rain, and he turned into a gremlin. Live by the Goff, die by the Goff. He almost single-handedly pushed the Packers back into the lead. Jared Goff made a absolutely ghastly pass on a 4th-and-1 play inside Green Bay territory, turning the ball over on downs. The Lions were down by 4 at that point. Field goal makes it a 1-point game. They went for it, which would have been fine because there were receivers open. Jared Goff just didn't see them. And the Packers, because of Jared Goff's ill-advised pass, took that ball, turnover on downs, went back, got a touchdown. Very next possession. Wet ball. Always a problem, at least in football, when you've got wet balls.
My love of balls.
Jared Goff, the first snap, nobody touched him. It's not a great play by the Green Bay Packers defense. He fumbled the snap. Fumble! Bug on the rug. And then the Packers took that, went 5 plays, 19 yards. It was deep in Detroit territory. The Packers went down 19 yards, touchdown. So that's 14 points handed to Green Bay on a silver platter. And so that, again, is Jared Goff, the full Jared Goff experience. He'll tease you and rip your heart out. That's the microcosm of Jared Goff. And again, Aaron Rodgers and all the Green Bay Packer players should send a bouquet and a box of chocolates. After halftime, Jared Goff had a passer rating of 58.1. 58.1. He averaged less than 5.5 yards per attempt. He lost an interception and a fumble. Jared Goff. Enjoy him, Detroit. Thank you for Matthew Stafford. We appreciate that. The Rams appreciate Matthew Stafford. Very generous of you to give up a decent quarterback who could be great with the Rams for a stiff. All right, last word here. So let's go back to Aaron Rodgers again. Nice of Aaron Rodgers to show up. The season actually started in week one. He took off week one. And I understand Rodgers was complaining after the game about all the overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis in the NFL. So let me play the world's smallest violin for Aaron Rodgers. Boo-hoo-hoo, right? And he's getting all worked up here. Listen, you lost a game by a gazillion points. You didn't even show up to Jacksonville to play the Saints. You were carved up like a jack-o'-lantern. You look like a pumpkin is what you look like with all the holes in you. And yeah, the trolls react. You went AWOL. You had a dereliction of duty. Not just Aaron Rodgers. The entire Green Bay Packer team against New Orleans. And what did you expect? Everyone to bite their tongue and say, well, I'm not going to talk about anything here. No. Let's wait till the end of the year before we make any judgments. Cry me a river, Mr. Rodgers, right? The overreaction machine. Let me be very, very clear here. I've been doing this a long time. The overreaction machine is the very essence of why dopes like you get paid a gazillion dollars to play a child's game of football, right? You're a grown-ass man, and you're playing football for a living and making millions of dollars. The reason you're doing that, Aaron Rodgers, just in case you forgot, is because we human beings are emotionally invested in the outcome of your little dopey game. And you mix in a big tub of kerosene from fantasy football and gambling, and you have a highly combustible situation. It's one extreme or another. And it's like the lyrics from the old Frank Sinatra song. You're riding high in April, and you're shot down in May. That's life. But in the NFL, you're riding high in week one and shot down in week two. That's life. If you can't handle that, go out and get a real job. But that's the way it is. And you should be happy about that because the money is ridiculous. The money is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Anyway, all right, let's go into the losing locker room, the better story in the losing locker room. Dan Campbell, the man that will eat your kneecaps. He drinks a lot of coffee, Dan Campbell, and he points out here that he is not a bad person. Well, let's just let Dan Campbell explain. He's not a negative Nelly and all. I don't know. We'll let him talk here. Here's Dan Campbell explaining what happened there for the Lions.
I just told him I don't want to see that. So they come in. I'm not that type of person. I'm not a negative person. I'm all about going to work. I want guys that are resilient, that are willing to go back to work. They love ball. They're going to clean up their mistakes. And those are the guys I'm looking for, man.
Well, they love ball.
I love our balls.
For about 30 minutes. If the Lions could play a 30-minute game, the 49ers, they dominated the second half, and then this game they played very well in the first half. It's the full game, which is the problem for the Lions. All right, wait, there's more. Dan Campbell is going to be fix it, Felix all of a sudden. He's got a plan.
You know, we're going to fix our mess because we put ourselves in this mess. So that's what I'm looking for. So I think we're going to be just fine. We'll be upbeat. And you know what? It should sting. I hope it does sting. It stings me. And that's okay. But that doesn't mean that you got to be negative or kick the dirt and everything else. And I don't want those guys around here.
Yes. Be very positive as you're getting the snot punched out of your nostrils. I like Campbell. He's not going to be around long, likely, but he's a good soundbite, and that's all I care about. Here's more. But Jared Goff, the man of the hour. Remember, live by the Goff, die by the Goff. Here's Jared Goff. I've heard this soundbite before when he was with the Rams, something very similar to it, as he tries to focus on the positivity
We've shown flashes of it. It just needs to happen more often. That's with everybody, myself included. We're there. We have the players. We have the plays. We just need to be on the same page a little bit more and just continue to get better and continue to stay consistent.
Yes, just keep getting better week after week. Yes. Well, at least he didn't come out and say, we learned a lot from a loss. Remember the Green Bay Packers? That was the company line that we learned a lot from a loss, which is total bullcrap. Because if the Green Bay Packers played a halfway decent team, they would have lost Monday night. Does anyone disagree with that? The Lions blow, and the Packers played like crap for into the second half. They started to pick it up a little bit in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, thanks to Jared Goff's generosity. But if they played a halfway decent team, they would have lost. And to imagine down the line they play legitimate quarterbacks, and they've had problems with two illegitimate quarterbacks, that is not a good harbinger of things to come for the Matador defense of the Green Bay Packers. It is the Ben Maller Show. If you want to comment on any of that, you can join us here. We will open up the phone lines for you. And I love to hear new people call up. I know people send me messages. Hey, I'm intimidated because that beer-drinking guy and that woman with the star chart call up all the time and that weird guy in Brooklyn. I get it. But you can call up. You can join the fun. This is not a private fraternity where only a select number of people can call up. I love to hear different voices. You don't have to wait for a newbie night. 877-99 on Fox. Now, you got to have something to say. We had a guy call up yesterday. It was very bizarre. I was thinking about this. I don't usually think about the show. I try to forget the show after the show's over. We had a guy call up from SoCal who asked our opinion because he said that every Sunday during football season, he goes out and he gets a nice massage. And he felt like he was cheating on his wife. And so we asked him if he had the Robert Kraft type of massage, the Deshaun Watson type of massage. And he said, no, it was just a regular massage. And for some reason, that call stuck in my head. I couldn't get that out of the old noggin. Anyway, 877-99 on Fox. We're also available on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller if you'd like to be part of the festivities. The chain gang is needed. The chain gang is needed. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
The Ben Maller Show is a hit because Ben is not a phony. All the other sports psychos are full of rancid baloney.
Yeah!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox. A Hall of Fame second baseman, Blue Jays, Orioles. He was best known for spitting in the face of an umpire.
Craig Biggio.
Great clue, bad answer. More of that coming up on Maller's Mountain of Money in Hour 3. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
First of all, it is possible that Biggio in Little League spat a loogie at an umpire. We don't know that. So, it's not a terribly
Greg Biggio!
Game. Yeah. My favorite part of that game is
I love when he played for the Blue Jays, too.
Yeah. Well, when he was a kid, he might have played for the Blue Jays. Although, I think when he was a kid, the Blue Jays probably didn't exist. But, anyway. All right. Rob in Vegas writes in. He get real-time feedback right away on the Twitter machine. Rob in Vegas writes in. He says, I know you can't see me, Ben, but if you could, you'd see that I'm giving you a standing ovation for that masterfully delivered opening monologue, A++++. Thank God I denounced the Detroit Kitties a few months back because that first half sure tested my resolve. F. Altuve, 00 Mexican in San Diego. As he basks in the afterglow of another Raiders win, says A-plus on the Maller monologue, Ben. Everybody gets right against the Lions, especially at home. My strategy for my survivor pool is to pick whoever the Lions play. It's already down to me and one other guy from all the dogs barking in the NFL. There you go. Reese Braun, I think that's his name. He says, hey, Maller, he's been listening to us every night for years now, and he finally got on Twitter and started following us. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a good-looking dog there. Is that your dog, or is that somebody else's dog? I don't know. You got a doggy in your avatar there. I like that. All right, a late-night drug tester says, the only time that any coach should worry about the Lions is if they finish below them in the standings. That usually means they are losing their job. F. Altuve from the late night drug tester. The Edmund Washington Garcia, not to be confused with the Edmund Dallas Garcia account, says, I fell asleep during your monologue, Ben, but I have enough energy to say, happy birthday, Roberto! So happy birthday, Roberto, from that guy.
Thank you, thank you.
And Bobcat writes in, says, I missed the opening monologue. Brief synopsis, please. Yes, Bobcat, that's all available on the podcast. Download the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, tell a friend about the podcast. Even if you listen to the live show, the podcast is better. Limited commercial interruption, and the commercials on the podcast are different than the commercials on the radio, so you change it up a little bit. Trust me, I know, because I have to voice separate commercials for the podcast. The burner account writes in, says, I agree with your monologue, Benjamin. The Packers are a wild card team at best. Well, I don't know about that. Look at the division. Look at the division. The Bears, Lions, and Vikings. Me, oh my. Anyways, he says, the Packers are a wild card team at best, a team full of no names and an aging elder at quarterback. Is a recipe for an early exit in the playoffs. By the way, will we finally get that verbal octagon with Charlie and that other guy? I'm asking for a friend. Well, Charlie, listen, if you want to do it, the other guy called up. We have no firm date. We can do an on-the-fly verbal octagon, but typically I like to promote these things. JD in KC, he told us a great story about maggots. Last week, he says, A-plus on the Maller monologue. Dan Campbell did put themselves in this position by trading for Jared Goff because he's hot garbage. You guys, it means the Rams here, got lucky by getting Stafford because he is for sure a stud. Well, he's off to a good start as a stud, shall we say. Chet in San Diego says, I don't know how much I can enjoy the show tonight. My dog, my buddy, for nearly 17 years died. Well, Chet, my humble condolences. It's very tough when you have a pet that's in your life and around you all the time for that long. There's a bond there. And I've lost dogs. I don't think I've ever had a dog live that long, though. So you were very lucky. It's a blessing and a curse, right? It's a blessing because the dog lives that long.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. Yeah. We need more dogs.
Yeah. And then there's always the weird thing when you have a dog for a while and then the dog passes. Like, what's the proper amount of time to mourn the dog? And then what's the proper time to get another dog? Or do you not get another dog? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things involved. Eugene in Chicago writes and says, Ben, what's your letter grade for Jared Goff? All right, so Jared Goff, for the full game, gets an F+. For the first half, I'll give him an A for the first half, but he was so horrible in the second half that it totally erased everything that he did in the first half. Everything. America's Most Unwanted writes in, King David says, watching your appearance on Dark Side of Football Episode 4. And those are some absolutely crazy stories about playing through pain. Kyle Turley, Coach Ditka, and even your Fox colleague Ephraim Salam going through all of that is unbelievable. Well, yeah, that's a good show. And the great thing about that show, The Dark Side of Football, it's pretty evergreen. So that's the kind of show that will be on television for a lot because it's not really dated. They're telling stories of old NFL events. And so you can play those. That's a pretty good shelf life. It's a pretty long shelf life there, which is not a bad thing. All right, so it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. The chain gang is needed. A wild tale from that Packer game. Aaron Jones, the star of the show, he scored 4 touchdowns for Green Bay. And he, I don't know if you saw this now, he was wearing a chain. He had a football chain on, that a little black chain, and had a little football. And in that little football, it contained his late father's ashes. Apparently his father passed away back in April. From what I was reading, as I understand it there. And so he wore that as a tribute, had his father with him. A little piece of his father there is running around. And somewhere along the way, during his 4-touchdown game, he lost the chain. The chain came off with his father's ashes in it. And as of an hour to an hour and a half after the Packer game, the grounds crew was still going around. They were the chain gang trying to find the chain, and they were still looking. Now, Aaron Jones had a great attitude. about this. He said, if there was any place to lose it, I know that's where my dad would want it to be me to lose it, he said. Now, this is different than the Javi Baez thing. Javi Baez lost an earring sliding into home plate in the celebration after the Mets won a game a couple weeks ago, and they couldn't find the earring. I think this is going to stand out, though. Like, somebody's going to get it. Either that or the grounds crew, when they mow the grass, is going to ride it over, which would be an unfortunate end to the chain. But I think that'll turn up. Because once somebody finds it, even if somebody snatched it and has the chain, once they realize what's in it, I think they'll do the right thing. I would like to think they will do the right thing.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
That's one other note from the NFL, Houston Texans quarterback Tyrod Taylor not going to play Thursday against the Panthers with a hamstring injury. And if you were wondering, would the Texans activate Deshaun Watson for that game on Thursday? The answer is no.
There was no chance. We said that yesterday. I did a whole monologue explaining how ridiculous the media was. Oh, maybe there's a chance they should bring him back. Idiots! You big dummies! You done, Eddie?
I am.
All right. Thank you. It is the Ben Maller Show. To the phones we go. And eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's say hello to Chris in Boston, who's in the leadoff spot. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Ben. Good show.
Thank you.
Hey, not a Lions fan at all, but I remember Barry Sanders back in the day breaking ankles all over the place, and that was just an enjoyable time. To watch the Lions.
Now, do you remember, are you old enough to remember, Chris, when Barry Sanders, they made the playoffs, remember, and they got smoked? Who'd they play? Like, was it Washington or Philadelphia? They got destroyed in the playoff game. Wayne Fonts was coaching, and it was a disaster. I forget who, but it was an NFC, I want to say an NFC East team took him to the woodshed.
Yeah, but, I mean, every Thanksgiving, you know, it was the Lions, right? You know, and it's just that was fun.
Well, that's how you do it, Chris. I mean, that's still to this day, the rest of our lives, it's Cowboys and Lions on Thanksgiving.
Right. Hey, yeah. Mac Jones, I really think he's legit, and I want your opinion on him. I'm a kind of a good fan of him, so I don't know what
now,
you
how
think.
Big on the scale of fandom, Chris, because he's only played two real games. So on the scale of fandom, where are we at on the scale of fandom? Is this like a 9, 1 to 10, 10 being like Tom Brady? Where are you at?
Well, there's no Tom Brady. You can't. That's impossible, right? You know, but you can look at the way he goes through his progressions really quick. He does throw people open, and he keeps the ball low for the receivers, and that's going to win him a lot of praise in the locker room. So that's my take.
Yeah, I'm not like he's been fine. I wouldn't like. There's nothing that says, you know, this is a mess. I saw the quote from, I think it was Boomer Esiason. I read somewhere where he had said that if they redid the draft right now, that Mac Jones would be the first quarterback picked in the draft and all that. And I mean he's been okay. I mean you want to see him continue to grow and the a lot of short passes. Which is what that's the way the Patriots are running their offense right now. So you want to see if he can, once they open it up, if he can still complete the passes the way he's been completing them. But
that's McDaniels keeping him under the reins just so he can be successful and build his confidence, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But at some point, when you play better teams, you're going to have to open it up. All right. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. He's all in, fully invested. Into Mac Jones. Now, does that mean he is in? Chris is gone, but I wonder if he's invested in a Mac Jones jersey yet. You have to wait a little bit. This is another opportunity. Mac Jones, the Saints, which Saints team is going to show up? The team that pollocks the Green Bay Packers in week one, or the team that got mollywopped by the Carolina Panthers in week two? Most likely the team that showed up in week one. But that's a game. I'm starting to handicap the games this weekend, which should scare the hell out of Patriot fans, because I'm looking at that. I'm like, well, I like Jameis Winston, but he does make a lot of mistakes. And Bill Belichick, as the defensive guru, is pretty good at messing with the mojo of quarterbacks that are mistake-prone. So that has disaster written all over it. Let's keep it going on the phones. Joey B. is in KC. Hello, Joey B.
What's up, Big Ben?
Joey B., are you in the mourning process now after the Chiefs gave a game away over the weekend?
I'm still pretty bummed out, but I wanted to call and say hi to you for the first time. This has been a long time coming. I used to write you from prison.
Oh, well, mazel tov. Thank you for calling up, Joey B. I think I remember you, actually. You were the young fella, right, that you had been in for, you used to send me mail every so often. I think I remember you, actually.
And you used to make my day. Well, my night, I guess. But
well, great. So what? Give me the update here. Does this story have is this like a Disney story here? You were in jail, you were down on your luck, and now you've turned your life around, and you're out of jail, and you're an upstanding citizen. Does it have a happy ending here, this story?
You know, it kind of does. But I work a lot, so I listen to your podcast, never got a chance to call in. But I came home, Chiefs won the Super Bowl, been doing good for 2 years.
Outstanding. That's great. So you're an honest man. You're working your butt off there, and you're staying out of trouble. We love to hear that, Joey B.
That's right.
Outstanding, man. Thank you.
Thanks for being there, Ben.
Well, thank you. I thank you for listening. Now, when you know the rule on you guys in prison, when you're in jail, when you get out of jail, you got to tell the other inmates, hey, I know a show you can listen to.
That's
We need to keep the prison listenership up. So anyway, all right. Well, thank you, Joey. I appreciate it, man. Check in from time to time. Let me know how you're doing. All right. There you go. Yeah, I've not gotten a lot of prison mail lately. We used to get a lot of prison mail. That guy Sixpack in Florida, he's in for life. He's got a lifetime stay at the Gray Bar Hotel. And he would send me email. He still does every once in a while. We had a guy in Oklahoma that had sent a lot of prison mail. But I'm trying to think. Like off the top of my head, I think that's pretty much it these days. A little slow on the prison mail. Now, when I worked with Karen Kay, KK. At the news desk, the fellas in prison love sending Karen mail. I don't know why. I have no idea why. Anyway, we'll have the MLB pick'em as the baseball season winds down. We'll also have that ladies' night story at some point. Here's the Who Am I game.
And who?
This is for Koopa Loop. Teddy Bridgewater. Denver's Teddy Bridgewater becoming only the fourth quarterback in league history to record 2+ passing touchdowns and no interceptions while completing at least 75% of his passes in each of his first two games of the season. Bridgewater joins Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and blank. Again, Teddy Bridgewater becoming only the fourth quarterback in NFL history to have 2+ passing touchdowns, no interceptions while completing at least 75% of his passes in each of his first two games of the season. Bridgewater joining Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and blank, fill in the blank. That is the question. The answer next.
And stuff like this happens, bro.
It does. It does happen.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Nothing good happens after midnight unless you listen to the Ben Maller Show. Join the fastest growing club on Fox Sports Radio. You can follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And on Instagram, it's at Ben Maller on Fox. And you can add your touch to weekly show bits like Ask Ben and Lame Jokes. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
I got to tell you, I love that call we had from Joey B. in KC. That's the kind of story we need more of there. That guy was locked up for a while, got out, haven't heard from him, been working hard, and that's a good story. I like it. All right. Save your money. Remember, I know it's hard, Joey B., but save a little bit. You'll thank me later as much as you can. All right. Time now for the Who Am I game. So Teddy Bridgewater of the Broncos becoming only the fourth quarterback in league history to have 2+ passing touchdowns, no interceptions, while completing at least 75% of his passes in each of his first two games of the season. Bridgewater joins Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and me. Who am I? That is the question. What's the answer? Steven's going with Humpy Wheeler as his answer. Tony the Tiger from Scorpio Niner. Mr. Nice Guy says Joey Votto is the way to go. Scott Norton from Rob in Vegas. The Colt season from Justin in Cincinnati. Craig Erickson, there's a good old name from NFL Pass, from Chris in Des Moines. Jay Schrader, tossed out by Oscar, another solid name. Curtis Painter, nice hair, from David in Seattle, who knows where all the good restaurants are. Marc-Andre Fleury from the Screaming Possum. Late Night Drug Tester gives us Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst. James the Machinist says it's Sam Bradford. Alf the Alien Opiner with Fireman Ed. Boy, Fireman Ed has aged all of a sudden. Dick Trickle from Terry listening in England, a senior member of the Mallard Militia, the UK contingent. Jason in Denver is going with Carlos Danger as his answer. Alex Smith from Matt the Warrior Raider A's fan. Steve DeBerg tossed out by Sean in Portland. Do you have an answer, Eddie?
I have an answer, Ben.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go with Phoenix Cardinals legend Tim Rosenbaugh with two M's.
Yes, is a legend. Neil Lomax, a St. Louis Cardinal legend. That's incorrect. The correct answer, I remember this guy with the Colts, Jeff George. By George. Jeff George, the answer. And that leads us into the MLB Pick'em. Down the stretch we come! All right. We're all trying to win except for Eddie. Coop, you have the first pick, Coopaloop.
I'm going to go with Brandon Woodruff.
Chalky McChalk. Give me Trevor Rogers. Roberto.
Let's see here. Give me Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
All right. Eddie, back to back.
Let's see. Let's go with Craig Counsell and Kurt Schilling.
Oh, nice. Chilling.
Solid.
He's a lightning rod. All right, Roberto.
Let's go with, let's see here. We got plenty
of
time.
Hurry up!
Rafael Devers.
Marcus Semenin. Or Semenin.
Oh, my God.
I can't even say his name.
Wow.
I can't even say his name all of a sudden. Go
Semien.
Ahead.
Then you can't
Semien.
Have him.
There you go. I got him. Cool.
I'm going to go with Salvador Perez.
All right, one more.
And Aaron Judge.
All right, and I will take Freddie Freeman, Roberto.
Julio Rios.
All
Thank
right.
you very much, guys, for that pick.
You're welcome. You can have him. He'll pitch
what
three
about my
innings.
Last pick?
You don't get your last pick.
Pick for you, Eddie.
You're not playing fair.
Ha!